Blog Talk Radio.
Merry day after Christmas, and welcome to the one and only Murder 123. This is Dr. John. So glad to be here tonight. We got a full house, got our great cast, crew, and everybody, and we're ready to have a great show. First of all, tell us about your Christmas holiday, Devin Tate. What you been up out there in Hollywood?
Well, I have been, I had jury duty for 14 days, so that kind of messed up my whole holiday schedule. I didn't have time to get my cards sent out in time. I didn't get all the presents I wanted, but it was still a good holiday. I stayed here in L.A., and most of the transplants leave, around the holidays, so it's nice and quiet here, which I enjoy.
Well, that's good, and glad you had some good holiday time and everything. So we are glad to have you here. Tony Filosi,
thank you.
How is everything up in Kentucky?
Everything's great here. It was a really good holiday. My son and his girlfriend brought my grandson in. I'm getting a lot of time with him. Always good. He's only 4.5 months old, and he's growing, and we've had a really good Christmas this year.
Well, that's great.
That's wonderful.
Glad you had a good time. Now, I played hooky from everybody, and I went down and hung out with my friends Robin and Pat McCrae and Janice Carter. And speaking of Robin McCrae, there she is. How are you doing?
I'm good, sweetie. How are you doing?
I'm excited. Now, I have to say, I am very excited about tonight's show. It's one that's kind of near and dear to my heart, because sometimes you just feel like you can connect with people. So anyway, we had a great time. We had Christmas gifts. We had the best Christmas. I'm going to tell everybody, you've got to get down to South Carolina and let Robin cook you a feast, because it'll be like, it'll be just a great, great thing. I'm going to tell you that. So anyway,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, we picked out. We did. I'm still full.
I refuse to look at the scales until, Saturday. So I'm just trying not to eat, except I do have all this food in my refrigerator that I got from a friend of mine.
I know, I sent a big care package.
Humongous care package. It was great. So, as I said, I had a great time. And I got to announce to everybody, I think I introduced Robin's family to the Doctor Who marathon. It was so much fun. I love Doctor Who.
But we used to watch Doctor Who, and I don't know why in the world we ever stopped. But I was watching it again today, thanks to you.
Well, thanks. I'm glad you were. It's a lot of fun, and I really enjoy it. So I had a great time.
I'm so glad you were with us. We loved having you here. That's going to have to be our Christmas tradition, John.
I'm fine with that.
You're
going
to have to hang with us.
Yeah, absolutely. It's fun. It was great hanging out with Janice and her daughter, Holly, and all. And okay, now, can we go ahead and admit this? How many dogs and how many cats were there?
Oh, my God. It's awful. Okay, I have personally, myself, I have 8 dogs because I've taken in and adopted some or some that are in bad situations and brought them into the fold. I originally had 5 and then it got bumped up to 8 because of that. But then I have a really soft heart with certain situations. And I found 4 puppies that somebody had dumped off after they poured acid all over them trying to kill them. And so I certainly couldn't turn them away. So I had those 4, one of which has found a home. But then right before Christmas in an already packed house, I found out that there were 2 elder dogs that had a lot of health issues and their owner had passed away. And then after the owner died, they went through an awful lot and they were stuck living in a vet's office and that nobody would take care of them. Nobody would take them on or even foster them because of their age and their health. I couldn't handle that, and so I went and picked them up. So that was 5 on top of my 8 that I have here. And then Janice has a small dog as well. So way too many. I don't, tell people to ever get that many, but the philosophy here is if it needs to be here, then that's where it needs to be. So I have 5 fosters plus my 8. Cat-wise, I had 6 cats. Most of them, all but one was actually rescues. And then I took on our wildcat. And so that made another one. And then Janice has one as well. And then she has two fosters that we have as well. So it's like Zoo Central here with the animals. And that's before the seven guinea pigs, the two lizards, the Salcutta tortoise, and the hedgehog and the cockatiel. So, I mean, it's just mass chaos on any given day.
It wasn't mass chaos. It was fun. Guys, you just don't know what it's like to have a different dog every 5 minutes coming up and hanging out with you.
Except for Chester. We have this dog named Chester, and he's like a pet rock. Like, really. He gets excited for very few things in life, and he decided that he was just going to camp on John's lap. Like, first we decorated him and had bows on him, and we took pictures of him wearing his bows as he laid there. And then he would wake up every now and then, and he'd go over to John because he had conned John into cookies. We go through more dog cookies than anybody should ever. It's just ridiculous. You could buy a car with my dog cookie bill. And so he kept going to John because they all figured out that if you go to Uncle John, John will cave, and John will go get dog cookies. Oh, we have the mini pig too. We have two mini pigs that are we have an attached garage, and it's set up as an apartment for them, like their beds and their litter boxes, and they have their own heater, air conditioner unit, radio, the whole ball of wax. So they really rough it out there. But we also have a very small piglet that I was actually blessed to be given. He had a bad experience at the vet and decided he didn't like people anymore, so they sent him over to me, and now he wants me to carry him and hold him all the time. So we have him as well. But, yeah, Dr. John is Mr. Cookie. And Chester decided that he was just going to drape his body across John's lap and stay there.
The and then time once he looked at me, I just had to give him cookies. You know how it is.
I know. He loves it. He's so funny. And there's times that this dog is the epitome of laziness. Like, every night they get their cookies on and off during the day at certain times. And they get their cookies before bed. Chester will literally lay there on the couch and make me bring the cookie to him. Like, he won't even get off the couch to come get his own food. I mean, you have to do everything but chew it for him. It's ridiculous.
Well, yeah.
The Chester.
So now you know what we did. We had a great time, and now it's time to have an interesting time.
Yeah, I'm excited about this show.
In the world's greatest show, 1, 2, 3. And I want to talk to everybody. About 3 years ago on my old show, Comic-Con Stars, I took it upon myself to do a conspiracy theory about Anna Nicole Smith. Now, what I've done is I have amassed a good bit of information about Anna Nicole and her son Daniel. They passed away in the 2006-2007 time frame. They are in some ways connected to Myrtle Beach, where I live, and they are true pop culture icons. And I think I don't know what happened, but I'll share some of the story. I want people to jump in because everybody's had a chance to read this, and let us know what you think. Because it's interesting. And I have some pictures, if people want to see them, of what I consider the before and after of Anna Nicole and her son Daniel. So, Anna Nicole Smith was born in November of 1967. Today she would have been 53 years old, I believe, and we miss her greatly. She attended Mexia High School and failed her freshman year, and then she dropped out her sophomore year. She was definitely not a scholar. And she was working at a place called Jim's Crispy Fried Chicken in Mexia. And there she met a boy named Billy Wayne Smith, a cook at the restaurant. They got married pretty quickly in April of 1985. And then in January of 86, she gave birth to Daniel Wayne Smith, her only son, as far as we know, and absolutely the favorite one, the favorite member of her entire family. He's the one that kept her together. Okay.
Oh, she adored him. Absolutely adored him. He was more of a parent to her than a child.
I think so. And then in January of 1986, she was down in Houston as a novice stripper. I don't know what another way to describe it. She was a stripper down there. And she met. Now what, Tony?
After she did, she wasn't really good at the profession or a novice stripper.
She was new. She was new at it, okay? And she met the robust 86-year-old petroleum tycoon Howard Marshall, billionaire. Now, he met the young Anna Nicole, and he showered her with gifts. But then he kept after her, just asking her to marry him and marry him and marry him. But then Anna got very fortunate, and March 1992, she was on the cover of Playboy magazine, and later that year, she appeared as the Playmate of the Month. And, obviously Anna Nicole went from nowhere to everywhere really fast. Now, in 1993, she was the hot ticket, and she actually replaced Claudia Schiffer as the pinup girl for Guess Jeans. That was a heck of a thing for her to do. So it wasn't much longer after that than that Howard Marshall finally convinced Anna Nicole to marry him. So on June 27th, 1994 in Houston, they got hitched. Now, Anna says that her decision was partially based on the fact that Howard promised to give her half of everything he owned. That was a lot, and that was at that time almost $500 million. Wow. So she kind of got thrust into the spotlight as the basis of getting married to Howard Marshall and being on the front page of on the cover of Playboy, and also as the pinup girl for Guess Jeans. I mean, she was on top of the world and just going higher and higher and higher. Now, she got a lawsuit that she was able to file against something called White Trash Nation. It was a magazine, and they took a picture of her squatting in a short skirt with cowboy boots on and eating potato chips. I mean, what more can you ask for? So they filed a $5 million lawsuit against the magazine, and she got a settlement. So she was set. She's married to one of the most influential and wealthy men in the world. She's on the cover of Playboy. She just got her a multi-million dollar lawsuit settlement. So she was really, really going to town. Now, what do you do when you're on top of the world? Devin, over there in Hollywood, when you're on top of the world, you try to get in the movie business, don't you?
Yep.
That's exactly right. And so she got into a movie. It was a screwball comedy called The Hudsucker Proxy. And some daffy gal named Zsa Zsa. I wonder where that came from. Then she got cast. Then she got cast in The Naked Gun 33 1/3, The Final Insult. When it got released, I mean, it had a really good run at the box office and made her fairly famous. Now, neither one of these films did a whole lot for her career. But, I mean, you know, heck, what can you say? She's famous, she's got money, and she's married to Howard Marshall. So then what do? You go try to become a star in a serious film and see if you can't really make your mark in the movie industry. So in 1995, she agreed to star in To the Limit, about some retired spy seeking revenge on the murderer of her husband. Well, she spent a lot of money on the film. They did a lot of publicity. And I hate to say it, but it kind of went over like the bombing of Dunkirk. It just exploded. It was horrible. She had some other roles. She actually had a supporting role on the sitcom Ally McBeal. Does anybody even remember Ally McBeal? I mean, I think we've all forgotten.
Yeah, I do.
Happened.
I didn't watch it, but I remember that.
Anna Nicole was on Ally McBeal. I mean, I thought that was probably the coolest thing she ever did. So anyway, she said, well, yes, I was married to him, but no, we really didn't ever have sex. And in fact, I think she kissed him 10 times on the mouth, never went to bed with him, and so it was quite a platonic relationship to get
that
half
really
the
weird. It was a weird relationship. Like, they had her on TV with him a couple times. And she was very, when I saw different things of him, she was good to him. Like, she seriously did care about him. You know, maybe not in a traditional marriage sense, but she really did care about him, and he absolutely adored her.
Well, yeah, that's true. And you'll see just a little bit later what she did to evidence that on her reality show. I mean, that was kind of interesting. So anyway, she ended up having to file for bankruptcy in 1996 because she had an $850,000 judgment against her based on a sexual assault case from a nanny who took care of her son, Danny. Now, the kid's 10 years old. That's an interesting lawsuit. I don't know. That's a fact. I'm just reporting the fact.
Is your son or was Anna Nicole accused?
I couldn't find out. I'm going to work on that. But I just said it's a little humorous that the kid's 10 years old and there's some kind of a sexual harassment lawsuit that the nanny filed. So there you go. Anyway, we'll just, Tony, can we just leave it at that? Is that okay?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Now, at the time, she was a guest on every show known to man, woman, and child. And I got to tell you what happened. One night on Late Night with Conan O'Brien, he asked her, he said, "Well, what's your playmate diet?" And she instantly replied, "Fried chicken." Now, I'm sorry, when I read that, I thought that was hysterical. Nobody laughed. That's her diet.
I was thinking, though, I remember when she had her TV show, because I used to watch it. And I was just, like, in shock every time I watched it. But she did. She was, like, obsessed with the fried chicken. She really was. And I think she even mentioned that was her favorite diet, was the fried chicken diet. That's why I was quiet, because I was thinking about that. I remember that.
Was it Cracker Barrel or KFC? We won't ask. Okay, she probably had a private cook and everything. Anyway, there was this fella. He writes for a website and it's called Ruthless Reviews. They're funny. They're sometimes cruel, but they are hysterical. He also writes for some boxing magazine. I mean, he's a real expert, you know. And he wrote a review of her show, the Anna Nicole Show, and it's called Long Live the Rich, the Drunk, the Fat, and the Stupid. I think that's a little bit unkind to Anna. I mean, she was a sweetheart. And here's what he said. I mean, the review has its moments. And he said, you know, some smart fella or gal at E found out that Anna Nicole's state and realized would flock to a program documenting the decline of someone who is rich, young, and beautiful so they can delude themselves into believing that they wouldn't want to trade places with her. And, you know, so like you would say, well, I may work 50 hours a week at a crummy job and I'm totally miserable, but at least I don't have a big ass and drink too much. And that's what he said. And there is humor in that, although I hate the fact that the humor Anna Nicole, and you can see some pictures of that show online, and it is a little bit unflattering, you know. So
yeah, but you know what? Can I just say this?
What?
If you and I mean, it's not like I knew her personally, but I'm just saying, I don't think she was quite as dumb as everybody made her out to be either. Because if you're getting paid a ton of money to show your boobs, your butt, whatever, and play stupid, that's exactly what she did. That doesn't mean she was stupid. That was the role that everybody stereotyped her in, and that's what paid her bill.
Yeah,
there's a difference. So really, who's the stupid one? Because she took that and used it, and she made a living off of it.
She made better than a living. I'll tell you that. I mean, Devin, you're out there in Hollywood, and there are people that play that role. They play it well,
yeah.
And they can retire on it, can't they?
Yeah, I think the downside is you open yourself up to people constantly trying to take advantage of you because they can't separate the character, you know, kind of similar to Marilyn Monroe, too. They can't separate the character from the person, you know. And I think Robin's right. Usually people that play that kind of dumb blonde role, they're actually really smart in real life. A lot of times.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was more of, they found out what people were going to stereotype them as. I've seen other actors do this as well and other people. I mean, they put on this persona of what they think is going to keep them popular, whether they're in the industry or not, or what's going to pay the bills, and that's who they become for that. But that isn't necessarily who they are. You know what I'm saying?
Especially if you do.
Yeah.
I mean, if you do it on a reality show, I mean, and then you got the Osbournes, and we found out that was an entirely scripted show. It didn't have anything to do with reality, but it was still so popular.
But if you're going to watch the Anna Nicole show, and I did, I watched it all the time, and she was so over the top bizarre at that point. But I never got the feeling that that's really who she truly was. She was trying to make money. She was out of money at that point. She was hurting. And she was trying to get this show going. Her life was falling apart. And she acted what was going to make the most money for the show and pay the bill. So I just have never quite believed she was exactly what everybody claimed.
Well, no, she... Listen, anybody can do what she did. She has a career people would die for, no pun intended. So, I mean, you know, she knew. But the woman knew what she was doing. Now, in September 2006, here came Dani Lynn Hope Marshall Stern, her daughter. And she was born in the Bahamas. Now, what's interesting is, of course, as soon as this happens, there were four people who came to the forefront and said they were probably the father. One was, of course, Howard K. Stern, her attorney. The other one was Zsa Zsa Gabor's husband, Frederick Von Anhaff, her bodyguard, Alexander Dink, and, of course, Larry Burkhead. Everybody came forward, and it turns out that on April the 10th, 2007, which was about 7 months after Dani Lynn's birth date, because of a DNA test that was run, a local judge there in the Bahamas established that Larry Burkhead was the father of Anna Nicole's daughter, and not exactly what everybody thought.
No, but there was a huge thing going into that because Howard Stern was just crooked. I'm sorry what anybody thinks, but he really, that guy, I've never had a good vibe off of him. I've always thought he just looked like a slimy person. But she went to him because he had been around her for a long time, and anything she wanted done, he kissed her butt and did it. And she wanted to move away from Burkhead for whatever her personal reasons were. She found out she was pregnant. She didn't want him anywhere near that baby, and that's how she lassoed Howard Stern into saying he was the dad. He knew all along he wasn't the dad. He even had finally admitted that in court and said that that was something that, you know, Anna Nicole had brought to him, and he was doing it because, you know, he loved her. You know, but, I mean, they all knew. That's why when she passed away and Howard had the baby and it was going to court, he fought like heck to stop that paternity test because he already knew.
Yeah. That's absolutely true. And so she just, I mean, it was just one, absolutely, it was one soap opera after another. So we get back to, you know, the next thing that happened to her, right after Dani Lynn is born, not long after that, her 20-year-old son, Daniel Wayne Smith, died on September the 10th, 2006, in his mother's hospital room while he was visiting her and the baby. Now, an autopsy found he died from a combination of drugs, including methadone and antidepressants. A Bahamas jury determined that Daniel died from an accidental drug overdose and recommended no criminal charges. Well, Howard Stern took a little bit of issue to that, so it wasn't a week after that he got a second autopsy done by a forensic pathologist and expert, Cyril Weck, who he consulted on Elvis and JonBenet Ramsey and Lacey Peterson. And here's what Cyril Weck said. He said, I'm not sure myself. Did he bring the drugs with him to the hospital? I mean, did he get the drugs from his mother's room? Did Howard Stern?
There was a lot of speculation. There was a lot of speculation.
He said, did Howard Stern give him the drugs? But there was no question that it was an accident and it was not suicide. Now, okay, that's great. I mean, he wasn't there. So there's no question, right?
No, I don't think he tried to kill himself, you know, and he was everything to her. He was the most important person in her life above any and all else was that boy.
That's
you know,
true,
he
but
was
you know, where did, the question is, where did the drugs come from?
Right.
And that,
I always thought it came from Howard Stern, but that was me.
Well, I kind of thought, you know, I didn't know. I mean, who knows who all was coming in and out of that room? But, I mean, you know.
I'm sure he had some when he came. I mean, but, you know, I think Howard Stern got Anna Nicole the drugs, too. Like, she didn't just walk up and down the street and get them. She was getting them from him. He was keeping her drunk. He was keeping her doped up. I mean, this is a guy that people just don't I don't think anybody realized how evil he really was. And the only one that had anything to gain by his attachment to Anna Nicole Smith was him. I mean, she was his meal ticket, and he made sure she had everything that she wanted. There's no reason not to think that maybe he didn't help, you know, with him either. But I'm sure he had, you know, he has his own ways of getting it because he wasn't with Howard Stern all the time.
Yeah, but yeah, and it's kind of wild and crazy. Anybody been to the Bahamas? It's kind of wild and crazy down there.
Yeah, I've not been there. My daughter went there with a church mission group one time, and she had a nice time. Don't get me wrong. She said, you know, one trip was enough for her, but she, you know, it was nice.
Would Stern have had anything to gain by Daniel's death?
What?
Would Stern would have anything to gain?
I don't think so. Not that I could ever find out. I think what happened to Daniel was never intentional by anybody. I think it just happened. I think it could have been something as easy as Howard Stern had drugs for Anna Nicole and Daniel got hold of them. You know, it could have been anything. I think, you know, Daniel was never with her full time. I mean, he was for a while, but not a lot. And, you know, the kid pretty much raised himself. I mean, he was always taking care of her. So, you know, he could have gotten it anyway. I don't think Howard Stern had anything to gain by that with Daniel, because he knew if anything happened to that kid, that Anna Nicole would be just gone. You know, she lived for that boy.
Well, did Stern get anything from the estate after Anna Nicole's death?
Well, he runs it.
That they never said that I could find.
I think he's the person in charge of it, carrying out her wishes.
Well, is he?
But
you
know, I guess here's what I'll say. When you look at Danny Lynn was worth zero when she was a baby. I've read several articles. She's worth about $40 million now.
See, that's the thing. If Howard Stern could have proven or found a way, like he tried to, that he was the dad, he would be in charge of that estate. And that would have been his big payoff.
Well,
I
think he's still the attorney, and I think he does get a paycheck every month, is what I've been told and I've seen. I mean, a lot of this is hard, unless we can get the court records. But here's what is very odd to me. I will now direct everyone's attention to our esteemed website, and I'm going to tell you what I think. And I've thought this for 10 years. If you look at our website, Murder123, I've got some pictures up. The then pictures from 1990 and 2000. Anna Nicole Smith before she gained weight. But just look how, you know, she's got very large cheekbones. And she wasn't that overweight. She wasn't really overweight back then. And now you go down and you take a look at Daddy. That is Wayne Smith Sr. And, you know, back when he was a kid. And I don't know. That's the happy family. That is Anna Nicole, Wayne, and that is Danny. Now let's take a look at some later pictures within a year of Anna Nicole passing away. First of all, on the left, there's Danny. If you scroll on down just a little bit, I don't think he looks a whole lot like the boy hanging out with his mom in the hospital bed. Now, I just don't. That's just me. And now, take a look at that Anna Nicole Smith right next to what I believe is the original Danny, take a look at her. Sure. And then take a look at the girl. Those cheekbones are not nearly as wide as they were in the in those older pictures. And the one when she's 50 in that red sweater, golly, doesn't even look. I don't know who that is. I certainly don't know who that is right next to Danny Smith when he's got that blue shirt on and she looks like I don't know who. And then there's the picture of her. And I'll finish this and everybody can comment. So then at the very bottom, there's the picture of the bodyguard carrying Anna Nicole Smith into the Seminole Casino. Okay? I don't think she looks at all like the original. I mean, this looks like a different person to me. This looks like body double time. I mean, we've all seen Quentin Tarantino's movie Body Double, I hope. I think the Anna Nicole with the baby, I think that Danny and that Anna Nicole are not the real ones. I think they're body doubles. Now, that's just me. And I'll tell you the conspiracy, and then I want you all to begin on it. Okay, Danny passes away, or Danny is reported to have passed away in the hospital room. And, you know, he's gone. And I don't think that boy looks like Danny. Then Anna Nicole, at the pictures there at the very end, after she tried to commit suicide by drowning, I think that's when somebody pulled her off the market and put body doubles out there. And I think they got rid of both of them. And I think they're living, you know. All right, let me just go crazy here. Are you ready? Then can I go crazy on you?
I'm ready. Go crazy.
You're ready for me to go crazy? There's something called the Myrtle Beach Connection. And this is what nobody down here understands. There was a film by Ben Thompson. He's a developer in North Myrtle Beach. He's a zillionaire, as we would call him over here. She claims that he gave her $1 million house to live in. And he claims that it was just a loan. But we have all seen Anna Nicole Smith back there in 2005 and 2006. We would see her occasionally up in North Myrtle Beach. She made no bones about it. She was up there living at his house. And she was out there getting sun, and we saw Danny, her son. We saw them both. And now, my contention
is
this.
And this was in 06?
Yeah, the 05, 06 time frame. Yeah. So then, it's my claim that they were body doubled out of existence, and then the body doubles were offed. And now, they're living happy as they can be up there in North Myrtle Beach. And that's what I think. There you go.
Anna Nicole and Danny, you think, are living in Myrtle Beach?
North Myrtle Beach, where Ben Thompson's from, the developer. Because I think he loved
it. Have you had any sightings or heard of sightings?
We had plenty of sightings in 05 and 06, back when we know she was there. But from the pictures that I've shown, I don't believe that was Anna Nicole up there at the casino. I don't. And I don't believe that was Danny. He just doesn't look like the boy that was walking with Anna Nicole Smith. I think it's a different person.
Any sightings since then?
I believe that I saw Danny Smith. And I didn't think of it. I just said, hey, Danny. Happened to be passing him on the street. And he just stopped and stared at me. I went on. I said, uh-oh. Right, he died, didn't he? Yeah. So I just left. And there was too much confusion around here when Anna Nicole died. And it just seemed to me that it was very convenient to have a woman that does not look, the bone structure of the cheek does not look the same to me in the later pictures as it does the older pictures.
Oh, I agree. I agree on that because I remember that bottom picture that's on the website. And I remember when that was done, and I remember when they had her going into court. And I can't remember what she was going into court for. And I couldn't believe the whole shape of her face was different.
Yes,
like the
cheeks
were hollowed out. Everything was different.
Right there. The picture with the red sweater is the picture of her in court. Her cheeks are just, they're not the same size. And I mean, you know, it'd be easy to say, here's $250,000. Why don't you play Anna Nicole Smith for 90 days and let's let her recover? That's an easy enough thing to do. And then body double stuff happens. I mean, Quentin Tarantino, it's the Quentin Tarantino effect. Now,
well,
I guess, what?
I thought, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
Saw
her and the bodyguard was leading her up to the courthouse that time, what I thought, and this was before she was dead, this is, you know, I remember watching it and thinking to myself, not only does that not look like her, but the physical mannerisms were not the same. She didn't move like her. She didn't, you know, Anna Nicole Smith, she was more childlike in her movement. She always was. She always acted a little bit goofy or whatever. The woman that I saw that was supposed to be her being led by the bodyguard was very self-confident, very adult in her mannerism, very forward walking down to there. And I'd never seen Anna Nicole Smith, and I'm not saying that she was walking any way wrong. I mean, it just wasn't the way Anna Nicole Smith moved.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
It wasn't
just her luck. Yeah, and I mean, at least that's what I think. All right, so you've expressed your opinion. I'm going to hit everybody up. I'm going to ask Tony, then I'm going to ask Devin. What do you think about my idea? What do you think about my story? What do you think about my pictures?
I think anything's possible by looking at the photographs, and I'm looking at the cheekbones down to the chin and the mouth area and the shape of her mouth. And the first two photographs, three photographs, you know, you can look at the structure and say, yeah, that's her. And even the later photographs, the last one's one that I was going to pick, one that was suspect, would be the last photograph. I think the other photographs are her, but when was the last photograph taken? What year?
Oh, the very last photograph was taken, I think, a week before she died.
Oh, my goodness. And, you know, there could have been a lot of factors. Her face could have been swollen from weight gain, alcohol, drugs, the whole bit. But all the photographs, if I had to roll the dice, I would say that all the photographs, in because of the look at the skin. Now, one thing that is suspect, okay, if you look at the photograph of her in the red sweater,
yep,
and then you scroll down to the photograph of the her and the bodyguard, unless she's had some caution put in her lips, look at the difference in the lips. You see the lip structure? It looks like
the mouth's different.
Yeah,
well,
looks
the length
like
of between the bottom lip and the bottom of the chin is completely off.
Yeah.
If you go the one of her in the red sweater, go to the one above it, those are two completely different chins. And then you go to the bottom one with the bodyguard, and that matches the one above her with the red sweater, but that doesn't look like her. It didn't look like her then. I watched it on TV, and I thought then something was weird because it wasn't her.
Well, and that's what I think. And if you look at Daniel, I mean, Daniel's got a different facial structure from the one under the word later until the one in the hospital. That's a different guy. And he's probably on a lot of drugs, and he was probably thrilled to be playing Daniel Smith. That's what I think. But that's just me. Well, okay, so we have some evidence from Tony. We have a lot of understanding from Robin. Devin, what do you think? Be the voice of reason.
Well, I hadn't thought about it, but certainly I think she was one of the earliest reality television stars, and I would think that would have to take a toll on you because that sort of invasion of privacy into your personal life, where it's not just you're an actress playing characters, but you're, you know, purportedly playing yourself. So therefore, I can imagine the scrutiny and people treating her, you know, the way that they saw her on TV. You know, I could see that might be cause for her to want to just disappear and escape.
Absolutely. Well, they made
maybe
her
not.
Look, I mean, she even said in an interview she did, one of the last ones I saw, that people had turned her into a joke. That she didn't even feel comfortable in her own skin anymore. I mean, the world is cruel. I'm sorry. I guess I should have more faith than I do in people, because it seems like, you know, people are cruel. They go in on, you know, she gave people a lot of joy by entertaining them. She did. And all she got for it was misery. You know, and maybe she got, I mean, I'm not saying she did or she didn't, but maybe she got to the point where enough was enough.
Well, there was another thing that I do remember for sure, is that when Danny Smith found dead, he was found dead at their house, and someone had tried to flush bottles of drugs down the downstairs toilet.
Danny died in the hospital room, didn't he?
Well, I'm just telling you the news flash.
Okay, because I thought.
I know that's what it says, but the news flash, when it came on, and I was watching CNN at the time, it was when Danny Smith died, that was a huge, huge deal, because nobody really knew Anna Nicole Smith was, you know, having all these problems like she was. And so when Danny died, it was a gigantic deal. And I remember very well that they found drugs flushed down the downstairs toilet at the house. And now they claim that he was, you know, found in the hospital. And that makes a whole different thing, because I know what I heard on television.
Yeah.
I'm going to take a poll.
Like...
Yeah, I'm going to take a poll, and then it's Robin's turn. How many of you have heard something on television, and turns out when you start reading the story, it's changed? Devin, have you ever seen that happen?
Oh, yeah, many times.
Tony?
Yes, absolutely.
Robin? You can weigh in, and then what were you going to say? So what I'm saying is, I remember that story because it was so shocking. Because down here in Myrtle Beach, we all kind of knew who Anna Nicole was, because sometimes she was seen walking around, you know, up there in North Myrtle Beach where Ben Thompson was. I mean, it's like Lonnie Anderson. Lonnie Anderson is seen frequently in Clayton, Georgia, where we run the Georgia Bigfoot Conference. Why is that? She and Burt Reynolds have a house up there. And so seeing Lonnie Anderson,
in Traverse City too.
You know, and just seeing Lonnie Anderson roaming around at the Ingalls Market is—it's not an uncommon thing. You know, maybe 4 or 5 times a year, people will say, "Oh, I saw Lonnie Anderson, spoke to her. She was very nice." So I mean, you know, if you see somebody around, I can guarantee you, if anything happened to Lonnie Anderson, people in Clayton, Georgia, would sit up and take notice, because she's a part-time member of that community. Well, that's the way we were with Anna Nicole Smith. I mean, you know, we were kind of lucky that we saw her occasionally on the beach. The beach in North Myrtle Beach is fairly fairly empty. It's not like Myrtle Beach, which is just full as all get out. So, you know, you have all these things that you remember because you were there. And I remember Danny Smith was reported as having died in her house. Ben Thompson's house, actually. And so now, and then they reported finding all these drugs there. Well, you know, and now it seems to be politely reported that he died at the hospital, which I'm not buying, but that's okay. That's just me. And again, this is my Christmas present to everybody, John going crazy. But I just think there's so much wrong with this story. We've talked about stories before where everything seems wacko, like Chris Benoit, like Tony, yours a couple weeks ago when we were talking about the triple murder in Harlan County, you know, during Prohibition. And Tony, didn't we notice that things just seemed different than didn't the evidence seem different than what the newspaper said?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It pointed in a different direction. But, one thing I'm noticing about, let's talk a little bit again about the difference in the facial features and things like that. It looks like that they found some sort of papers. It looks like Anna Nicole Smith's diary, sex, fear, sadness, and plastic surgery. And I think she was writing some things about before she had some, before she had a boob job. Now, if she had breast augmentation, could she not have had something like the collagen? And is that a possibility? You know, that she had a little bit of nip and tuck.
Oh, absolutely.
But would it be on her cheeks?
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
You get plastic surgery anywhere. But the thing is right before she died, she was so unbelievably sick. Like, she had pneumonia. She was in bad shape to begin with. So I don't know that that would be the time to get the plastic surgery. But it's entirely possible because she had all kinds of stuff done.
I think this happened, maybe a few years before death, it looks like. I mean, I can't find the exact date, but the article says a copy of the 60-page diary page was provided to the AP by the Universal Rarity of the Corona-based auction house. And, you know, you don't know that this thing wasn't, it's after her death, so somebody could have possibly made that up and, but somebody gave $500,000 for it. But that's just one possibility, you know. Whenever we're looking at the discrepancies in the facial features, we know she had breast augmentation. So something that could possibly explain that is she had more plastic surgery because she had her own, like we were talking about, she had her own reality show. She had her health was not the best in the world. So maybe she, you know, had some more maybe minor surgeries to overcome the bad health, because she's going to want to look good or as good as she can on camera. But that's just I'm just throwing that out there. You know, that's a possibility that if she had breast augmentation, she could very possibly, plus being in the business, you know, maybe had something else done that would change her looks around her cheekbones and her lips, you know, because definitely the one with the red sweater on and some of the other ones. And if you look at also we were talking about the one with her son and the baby, her lips are plump right there, so it looks like she's had some collagen. Or it could be like John says, maybe it's not, it could not be her, but I'm throwing, like I said, I'm betting more toward she's had some nip and tuck and that's changed her appearance a little bit.
I got to tell you something funny. When they were cleaning out that house of Ben Thompson's down there in the Bahamas, in her refrigerator was found, are you ready? A large bottle of methadone, vials of injectable vitamin B12, and Slim Fast.
Now that's a combo.
That won't kill you, nothing will. Oh my God. So, you know, it's a little funny, and it does bring it to home, because she was in and out occasionally in Myrtle Beach, and that's what we saw. So, I mean, now, the other thing that is very, very perplexing, and I wanted to save this to last, because this is, I used to teach CPR. I know a good bit about it. I know that when someone is non-responsive, you immediately start doing CPR. That's what you do. Now, the bodyguard calls, the sheriff reports the following, that at 1:38 p.m. East time, the bodyguard found her unresponsive. At 1:05 p.m., 7 minutes later, the bodyguard administers CPR until the paramedics arrive at 2:10. Now, that's all wrong. That's 7 minutes.
Why would you wait 7 minutes? That's bizarre.
Well, this is what it says. This is what the records show. At 1:38 p.m., they called downstairs and said, "We need help. It's Anna Nicole Smith. She's not responsive." And the front desk in turn called security, who then called 911. At 1:45 p.m., 7 minutes later, the bodyguard administered CPR until paramedics arrived. If you're non-responsive for 7 minutes, I believe you might pass away.
Yeah. Well,
but it looks like that the wife of her body, wife of the bodyguard, had performed CPR for 15 minutes until her husband had gotten there. So.
Well, but then again, if she performed it for 15 minutes, that would be 1:53. And then it says the bodyguard started at 1:45. So we got conflicting times. We just got
conflicting times.
This is, Tony, this is right out of Harlan, Kentucky.
Right. I mean, if you go by what they say, they did, CPR for close to 30 minutes before the paramedics got there. Would that be right?
Nobody's going to do that.
They'd have broken their ribs off pieces in that amount.
I know.
Their stomach, broken their ribs. Yeah.
So I mean, what's going on here? There's something very wrong about that. All right. So all right, Robin, I'm going to call upon you because sometimes you can get communications from beyond. Occasionally, you can't you?
Yeah.
Is anybody got anything to say?
No, that's what's bizarre. It's really kind of blocked. It normally they pop in and I don't even have to ask, and it's just not. Now that could mean she has nothing to say. It could mean she's not there.
I was just wondering. That's a little bit unusual, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it kind of is.
Okay.
That really is. Makes no sense to me.
What I'm saying is a lot of this doesn't seem to make sense. And I think out of respect for Anna, Nicole, and Daniel, I might have to get that book. Tony, what was the name of that book we got to get?
It was an article. I'll send you the link. It's an AP article. Anna Nicole Smith's Diary, 6th Sadness and Plastic Surgery. I'll send you the link.
Okay, great. Well, we'll all do some more thinking about it and see what we can come up with. So, number one, I want to appreciate all of you for putting up with me tonight as we celebrate our holidays and Christmas with Anna, Nicole, and Daniel, two of the biggest pop culture stars in history. And so what I'd like to do is if anyone has any further remarks or any greetings for the holidays or whatever, let's get them out in the open, and then we'll all go back and have some cake. Because I have a piece of coconut cake that Robin sent to me. So, Robin, I suppose I'm going to eat it, okay?
I'm telling you, it really turned out good. That was a surprise. I never made that particular kind before.
It was good. It was good. All right, so we will do ladies first. We will do Robin, and then we'll go to Devin, and then we'll go to Tony. And then I'll give my pre-coconut cake warm up. So, Robin, any more comments on the case? Anything you'd like to say?
Yeah, I just think that we need to keep an open mind on it because I think that in this particular case, like with all the other ones, there's more questions than we've actually got answers. And the key players that would know the truth are either gone or not talking. You know, but there are, I can see where your mindset was at as far as why you thought the way you did. I'm not even saying it's wrong. Because there are, you know, a lot of bizarre things there. But then, like Tony said, she could have had plastic surgery because, you know, a lot of people do that. But there are some really weird things. There's a lot of miscommunication, misinformation that's out. Like the day that he died, I remember watching TV and it came across the screen. And at that time, it said that he had fallen asleep that night. The night before, she was sleeping in the hospital bed. He was sleeping in a chair in the hospital room, and they came in in the morning, and he never woke up, and they found him dead. But then, just like you said, it turns around, and then they're talking about him dying at home. So which one is it? You know, obviously it couldn't have been in both places.
Yep.
You know, the only
thing—the
only thing that's odd is that if indeed Howard Stern would have been able, let's say she did fake her own death, and he was able to keep custody of that little girl, he would have been in charge of her, and he could have taken her to see Anna Nicole whenever she wanted. But because he was never the father, and they both knew he was never the father. You know, and that's why he fought so hard to make sure that that DNA test didn't happen. But then Larry Burke had won the case in court to have it done, and it showed that it was with him, and that's where the little girl ended up. Otherwise, she could have left with both of them, if that is indeed what happened.
We don't know.
Just a lot to think about.
Well, it really is. There are more questions than answers.
Yeah.
I never realized that until we started Murder 123. All right, Devin Tate. Concluding thoughts.
Yeah, I definitely think there is a lot of unanswered questions, and I think it's very telling that Robin doesn't hear, you know, anything from anyone. Makes me wonder if, you know, if they're still alive, that would explain why you might not hear from them. They might be far away. They might be purposely trying to disguise themselves, or maybe they took on, you know, whole new personas. You never know. But I've had a great time discussing this with you guys and on the other shows we've done, and I really enjoy talking with you all, and I hope you have a great and very successful new year.
Yeah,
well,
exactly. Same to you, Devin. So, we love you.
Well, thanks
you.
A lot, Devin. Yep.
Yeah.
Tony Filosi, what you got going on? What do you think?
I would have to say, you know, it needs dug into further. We need to research it further. If I had to vote right now on the evidence given, I would say that these are Anna Nicole's photographs. There's some suspect stuff with the CPR, you know, I mean, and with her son dying in her hospital room. This guy keeps coming up, the Stern fella. I think he's played more into their demise. Either you know, maybe not on purpose. But I think, like Robin, he probably supplied him the drugs. I mean, because he is the common denominator. I mean, Anna Nicole, like we said, she's not out in the Bahamas, you know, hustling dope on the corner, and neither is her son because they're too high profile. Somebody had to be giving them the drugs.
Yep.
You know, so that there's some things that need looked at. And before we go, one thing Devin had mentioned about Marilyn Monroe. Do you think we could do a show on her possibly in the future? Well, that would be really interesting.
I would love that.
Yeah, let's do that in February so we can have plenty of time to do some research. We'll huddle maybe next week. We'll message each other and we'll kind of pick what we're all going to look at, because there's some questions that I've got. The maid, oh my lord.
Yeah.
The maid is my big question.
And then who was the brother-in-law that was to Kennedy's brother-in-law
remember.
That was involved?
Oh, well, there's John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy.
Yeah, but there was a brother-in-law.
She was involved in both.
And she was involved with the brother-in-law that was setting up the. But like I said, we'll get our assignments. But that will be a really interesting.
I agree.
Yep. Well, that's what we'll do. We'll talk about that. We'll hit that in February. And Tony, you and I have got to get some FOIA requests out there for Chris Benoit. And one other thing that I need to know is, can we order FOIA requests from the Bahamas? Can we?
I don't know.
Don't know.
That would be something, boy. That would be a real good piece of information. I'll check it out. I'll find out. That's interesting.
Yeah, check it out. Please do that. I've got some other things. In fact, now next week we'll be back on Monday night, and it will be at we'll do it at 10:30, and we'll be talking about death in NASCAR, manslaughter by Tony Stewart, and a drive-by shooting with Charlie Trickle in the 70s, and that one is stone cold unsolved. And we will have one of the co-hosts of the soon to start the Charlotte Line. It's a racing podcast. I'll be on there too. But we're all going to join together next Monday, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time, and it'll be a lot of fun. So I want to say thanks to everybody for being here. We've had a blast. Tell everybody to check it out on Facebook. Tell everybody to check it out, the website, Murder123. We'll be back at our regular time, but I absolutely wanted to give everybody a Christmas present of Murder123 because we kind of have a blast on this thing. So thanks, everybody. Thanks, Robin. Thanks,
Happy
Devin.
Happy New Year,
thanks,
everyone.
Thank you.
Yep. Happy
everybody
New Year is. All right. We'll talk to you soon. Take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.